The death of an internet company in three acts. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Many of the biggest tech platforms, from Amazon to Facebook, follow a pattern of transformation, according to a recent essay from the author and internet intellectual Cory Doctorow. First, he says, these platforms court users with artificially low prices on products or an exciting way to connect with friends. Then they hook sellers, like advertisers or third-party retailers, with promises of reaching a captive audience. Finally, Doctorow says, as companies try to maximize profits, they end up ruining the experience for everyone on these platforms, a process he describes with a four-letter word we can't say on the radio.
As business customers flock into the platform, the number of places you can buy things off platform start to dwindle. Media companies start to become Facebook first or YouTube first. Sellers shut down their brick and mortar marketplaces in favor of Amazon, or they're forced out of business. And once those business customers are locked in as well, once there's nowhere else for them to go because users are habituated to getting their content or their hard goods or their services in a platform, then the platform owners can start harvesting the surplus for themselves.
While people seem to complain about them nonstop, I think it's probably hard to argue that they're dead. People are still using them.
These firms are seeing exodus to smaller platforms where we've had, you know, it's still peripheral, but lots of growth in the so-called Fediverse with Mastodon and other decentralized services. And, you know, there is a way of thinking about the fact that people are still on these platforms where you can call it a revealed preference. And you can say, well, if you're still paying for Prime, then you must like Prime, even if you complain that you think Amazon's a bad company. But if all the merchants in your community have shut down and you're still using Prime, is that a revealed preference or is it lock-in?
What, if anything, can be done to make this better?
So I think that, you know, we have a lot of policy orientation these days towards trying to make these platforms better. But what I would like to see is much more emphasis on making them less destructive when they do give in to their worst impulses, right? Like if we had interoperability so that you could leave a platform like Twitter or Facebook, but continue to send messages to it to the people who haven't left yet, then you could go and continue to stay in contact with the people who matter to you. And as the platform declines, you know, you wouldn't be stuck to it. And then when it finally imploded, your community wouldn't be scattered to the four winds. You would actually have already re-knit it on a bunch of other smaller services. We could also create a rule that says that it is an unfair and deceptive practice to tell someone that they have subscribed to a feed and then not show them the things in that feed. The FTC has broad authority under Section 5 of the FTC Act to police unfair and deceptive practices. If I say to you, show me all the things in this feed, and you say, yep, that's what I'm going to do, and then you don't do it, I have a hard time understanding how that's not unfair and deceptive.
Cory Doctorow is the co-author of Choke Point Capitalism and the forthcoming novel Red Team Blues. His essay appears at Wired and his personal blog, Pluralistic. And now for some related links. You can find Cory Doctorow's full essay on his personal blog. We'll have a link at our website, marketplacetech.org. He goes into much more detail about how exactly this cycle played out at specific companies, like when advertisers sued Facebook for inflating video metrics. You know, the whole pivot to video that never came. Facebook eventually settled that case for $40 million. And Doctorow cites some recent reporting from Forbes about how TikTok might be headed down a similar path. Based on internal documents, communications, and interviews with several employees of TikTok and its parent company ByteDance, Forbes reports the video platform has been strategically boosting certain content. They call it heeding, a practice that could give creators a false sense of how advantageous it is to post on TikTok, while at the same time diluting the relevancy of its For You feed, which has been TikTok's biggest selling point. TikTok told Forbes it does promote some videos to, quote, diversify the content experience, and introduce celebrities and emerging creators to the TikTok community. And finally, The Washington Post had a piece last year that demonstrated how the Amazon shopping experience has changed. Using the example of a search for cat beds, the piece highlights how many sponsored listings Amazon shows. They made up more than half the first page, and one of them was for a dog bed, which is a totally different thing. Daniel Shin produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.